an invite for the 10th anniversary. We wanted a big bang. We wanted Liz Stokoe. We wanted a big bang. And we wanted Lorenza Mondardo. I don't, again, need to introduce Lorenza to you. If I start to list her achievements, we'll be here until next week. It's impossible to cover the range of things to do. It's, in fact, it's almost impossible to cover the range of places she works in, but the two main ones currently are Basel and Helsinki. And Helsinki, as you know, is one of those great centers of CA activity, and she's turning Basel into something of the same kind of scope and heft. So, the kinds of things you're expecting with multi-activity and multi-modality, and she will give exactly that, I hope. So, over to you, Lorenza Mondardo.
Thank you for being and staying so late. So I hope I will give you something interesting. I choose to speak about mobility because I think it's a good example, a good field for thinking about some current challenges for CA. So it's for an interest for mobility that I am doing this talk, but also for an interest in what do we need to do more in our field. As you may know, there is a mobility term that has been initiated in social sciences. CA has not initiated that, but CA has then followed that, and I would say in interesting and original ways. The mobility term shows that we have maybe two limitations to overtake. On the one side, something like a static vision of social life. I think that the first data on which we have worked, so I speak in we as the community, were not only telephone conversations, but also dinner conversations, meetings, and events like this, which are typically static or stationary. So mobile activities have been largely forgotten for a while. I think that this is also related to the fact that it is much more difficult to video record outside, outdoors, mobile people doing unplanned movements. But there is more than this, because these methodological difficulties might generate a vision that is implicitly, tacitly, a static vision of what social life is. The other thing is that I guess that we learned a lot of things about co-speech gesture and the gesture studies. We know a lot about gaze, but we still have a relatively restricted vision of what the body is. So we tend a little bit to reduce the body to basically the head and eventually the extremities, not even the torso. Not to forget that what comes below is something that we tend to disregard. It might be a moralistic heritage from our Western tradition, might be something else. But I would say, and I will try to show you that an interest in mobility, and more specifically an interest in walking, so the mobility of the body and the entire body, allows to overcome this kind of restrictions. Walking has been interesting me these last years because in a way it's a form of mobility that maximizes the challenges that we have to address. It is a perspicuous phenomenon for the study of multimodal details because it mobilizes the entire body. If we work on walking, we have to look at what the people do with their feet, with their legs, and not only with their heads. So it's a kind of anti-Platonic or anti-Cartesian move in a way. Walking in this sense is also interesting because it obliges us to look at complex and multiple temporalities. So when you look at people walking and talking and looking around, you have the temporality of their gaze, of their gesture, of their walk, of their talk, and these are coordinated, but they do not correspond together. And this produces, they are simultaneous, but not entirely simultaneous, and this produces some interesting challenges to think about what is sequentiality in these kind of configurations. And this relates also to the fact that we have to pay more attention, I guess, to what I call the local ecology of social interaction that is largely constituted through the constitution, transformation, dissolution of interactional spaces that are drawn by the arrangements of multiple bodies. And yeah, I was forgetting that, but of course this for me points to the need of detailed and rigorous multimodal transcriptions. There are some studies of walking. They began interestingly already in the 70s with this nice paper by Rev and Shankin. There are more and more papers on walking. And I think that walking is really a fantastic kind of field of experimentation, because you can ask a lot of questions about how people walk and talk. Is the walking kind of constraining the talk? Is the talk constraining the walk? Finally, yeah, what do we learn out of that? I've been working on different forms of walking these last years, walking with walking alone, but also walking in big groups, like in this construction site, walking in smaller groups, in guided visits, people asking for directions in town, people searching for objects in the environment. Lately, I've been working on people with some special condition, like psychosis, with the idea of looking at how they walk in order to understand, possibly understand something more about psychosis and schizophrenia. And finally, I will not say much about this, but the interest and the careful analysis of walking in humans opens up the possibility of looking at walking and conjunctively, and the conjunction and the production of an interactional space and the dissolution of an interactional space among other primates than humans. So this is a little bit the kind of different types of data I've been looking at for asking these kind of questions, and those are the level of organization that I've been looking at. Looking at this, how people move and walk in environments is quite nice to address the question of how openings in these contexts are constituted by people joining and meeting together. So this concerns the overall structure, organization of social interaction. But interestingly, walking reveals interesting features of turn organization. I've been working quite a lot on turn completion, and I will give you a small example. Today I will focus on sequence organization, and I will try to show you how taking into consideration the situated ecology of activities might highlight some aspects that we haven't looked at yet. So I will work on questions today. This has effects on the way in which participation frameworks are constantly shaped and reshaped. It has also effects on our way of thinking multi-activity. Walking and talking is a form of multi-activity, but I will not speak much about that. And I, as I was alluding to with the baboons, I'm interested more and more in silent walking by humans and non-human primates. I will not say much about that today. I will focus much more on sequence organization. But in order to give you some hints about the other stuff that will be relevant for sequence organization, I want to give you some examples of the importance of walking and moving in space for openings, that is, for the very condition of having an interaction. Here, a case of passerbys asking for directions.
Excusez-moi, madame, je cherche une servante.
For example, but interestingly, these are all the examples I gave until now were outdoor examples. I've been recently more and more working on indoor movements. Like here in a bakery, you will see a client placing her, arriving and placing her order. So what she is asking for, she just arrived. You see that also the seller arrived. So they both arrive at the counter. And as soon as she asks for a petit pain au chocolat, so a chocolate cake, they both move where the chocolate cakes are. So here there are two movements, one towards the counter and the other one towards the products. And I've been tracking cases of walking to the counter in railway stations. You will hear her pushing the button of the jingle, and then somebody will stand up and walk to the counter. So this is the jingle. So this case is really interesting because they say "Grüezi" in this case. This is Swiss German data, and you see that the greetings happen much before they arrive at the counter. So here we have a person staying pretty static, but the clients are moving. So movements are quite interesting to look at also indoors. And this will be the last baboon case for today. But baboons also, look at the careful way in which the baboon approaches the other, and then this is a form of greeting, so touching the posterior. Okay, so if we look at the way in which these conjunctions in space happen, we see that a lot goes on in terms of organizing the first glance on the person who requests or initiates the encounter. The first mutual, so the first mutual glance, but the two bodies are still oriented in their opposed trajectories, and then the bodies turning and finally stopping and facing each other. And these movements are very finely adjusted to very first turns of talk. This is very systematic, but I skip the systematicity of these aspects to mention a second point before beginning to discuss questions and the ecology of question. Another feature that I've been working on about openings and movements in space in openings is also movements at turn completion and at sequence completion. In a paper first with Matthias Both and then an extensive chapter, we showed that in activities implying some movement, sequence completion, which is also turn completion, correspond to walking away. And you have an example with this group. This is a group of people visiting a kind of famous architecture. The guide is this person, so behind. And he is responding to a question that is asked by this woman. For the sake of this analysis, just look at the way in which at some point they begin to walk. So they are static right now. So it's quite beautiful. It's almost a choreographic movement where all at some point begin to walk. So how is this possible in a way? Well, it is possible if we look at that in sequential terms. You have a first question which is responded to, but then extended by a kind of follow-up not comment, which is extensively responded. At the end, at the completion of this multi-unit term, what you have is not only a syntactically projectable completion, which is visible in the fact that another participant does the collaborative completion, but you have also the guide on the last two words of his turn doing a step aside. And this step aside, in a way, is something that makes visible, not only audible, syntactically understandable, but makes visible the completion. And actually this is responded to in quite a complex stream of movement with a participant saying wow, another participant doing a kind of comment, some resistance, that's beautiful. It's a bit political, we are in France and there are still political people. So she says, resistance, that's good. So as a form of assessment, you have another person saying, are we? Oh yeah. But interestingly, two of them begin to move as soon, so one syllable after completion, another person does one step forward, and even the camera moves back, kind of participating to this movement. So in this case, you will see this is the advantage of this kind of transcript. You have a perfectly timed demonstration of the coordination of these movements, and I include, this is my way of being symmetrical and treating the camera as a participant, I include the movements of the camera. And this produces the closing. So with these two, with these two things in mind, I skip complexifications of these trajectories, but you have gotten the main idea, which is that completion is projectable and it is both implemented and made visible by moving away. Now I will try to use these elements in order to discuss about the ecology of questions. Questions are maybe one of the most massively studied actions in CA, and I do not want to claim to do anything new on some levels. But what I kind of try to do, which is maybe a little bit newer, is to ask what does the consideration of the ecology of the action bring us or teaches us about these actions. And another way of asking the question is how does mobility affect Sigmund's organization? Now, questions have been analyzed in different contexts, but these contexts have not been taken in terms of ecology. Those are institutional or ordinary contexts, and we discussed about the difficulty sometimes to characterize these things. I'm interested in contexts, in the material context. So I offer you some examples of questions asked in a mobile ecology. All the questions that I will look at are taken from a guided visit of a construction site. The guided visitors are citizens who participated to the elaboration of the projects that of the project that they are visiting. And it shares with guided visits in general some general features. In guided visits, you have explanations that are given in a stationary way, and then people move away and they go to the next spot, and there they get another explanation. So there is a pressure, there is an interest, this has an interesting effect for where to ask questions. And questions are typically asked immediately at the end of the explanation and before people move away. So there is a pressure on that particular moment. I'm interested in questions that come later and later in this respect. So we can look at first stationary questions. I will not say much about that. Those are questions that are asked right after the explanation, and they kind of exploit the existing interaction with space.
Sur lesquels on les a juste arrachés, mis en jauge, replantés.
So this is
et
the
aujourd'hui,
explanation.
Ils repartent, repartent très bien, quoi.
Celui-ci aussi.
Ouais. Ben, en fait, le fait de, comme ils sont déjà en situation, ils sont déjà grandis ici, on les a juste arrachés, remis.
So you see that basically you might have one or two people, and I'm interested in that too, in what kind of peripheral participants might do. But in these cases, the question is done in a way that uses the established and not yet dissolved interactional space, and the response is done for the entire group. Now I contrast the extreme contrast, but I will show you some intermediary cases. Are questions that are asked on the move. This is an example. This is the kind of engineer in charge, one of the engineers in charge of the project, and this guy will ask a question.
Je comprends que cette partie était comblée. Non, ça a toujours été comme ça. Bon, après, on a eu des tas de remblés qui montaient deux fois plus haut que celui-là. Okay. Et tout ça, c'était complètement rempli, quoi. Mm. Il y a des volumes, on était à peu près 2000 mètres cubes complets, donc là.
So this is a nice example because you have seen this conjunction, the question, the answer, and then disjunction. So a constitution and then dissolution of a mobile interactional space. Now what I am interested in is what happens between these two cases. So what happens when the guide, in this case, is the main architect of the project, who is here, is about to leave, and a question comes. So this is the first moment after this moment where there is still time to ask the question before he is leaving. Now he is about to leave, and the question comes at that point.
C'est pour ça aussi qu'au pied du rempart là-bas, on a fait un platelage bois. Qui est juste un lieu qui prend les premiers soleils de mars. Vous voyez, on aime bien se mettre le long des murs quand il commence à avoir un rayon de soleil, mais il ne fait pas encore chaud. Et c'est cet endroit-là, justement. Allez, on continue sur le... non, le mur...
So you see that he begins to move and the question comes. The question points to some place in the opposite direction as the movement, and the architect turns. Interestingly, here the camera turns too in order to catch that new perspective. If I look at the transcript, you have the end of the explanation where he points. He's looking at the citizens during his explanation at the end. He points towards forward direction, towards a point in the direction of the future walk. Begins to point while he says that place there precisely, and he begins to walk away. You see that here, like in the first example that I show you about the completion, he walks forward exactly on the last syllable of his turn. He adds also, let's go, we continue on the, and here you have a question by a citizen. So various persons have begun to move already. You have a citizen asking there you have in the park over there, and she's pointing at another direction. As soon as you have the la there, he stops, he stands, and he looks in the indicated direction. So it's that's why I call these stopping questions. Now these stopping questions are situated just after the first steps of the guide. In some other cases, and it's quite fascinating to see how these things are kind of ordered in terms of time, but also in terms of movement, we can have questions that are asked just a little bit after, as the guide has already moved on, and I call these questions en passant, questions en passant.
Et ça, ça va être un grand parvis piéton, avec des arbres, quelques petits arbres plantés
so
là-dessus.
End of the explanation.
On avance.
Il n'y aura pas de stationnement.
Il n'y aura pas de stationnement sur cette partie-là.
So in this case, you see that what what the architect is doing is finishing his explanation. So these are very nice ways of organizing and projecting the move forward. Okay, we move on. So with this, by the way, very nice thematizations of what he's doing, we move on, he walks. He's intercepted, so now he's not stopped, he's intercepted by a visitor saying, there will be no parking there. And basically, as you have seen, they continue to walk. It's not that that he stops, contrary to the other case. They walk a little bit together. But the answer, so here the question is, there will be no parking there? Answer, there will be no parking on this zone there. And then he accelerates and he goes away. So here we have another type of question, another type of answer. And you have, and this question answer is very short. And it doesn't slow down, or it doesn't stop the trajectory of and the progressivity of the visit. The other case is so a little bit further, a little bit forward. The architect is walking, and a citizen approaches. Him and ask a question. So these are clearly questions on the move.
Alors, on a des grandes tranchées, des grandes feuilles de plantation en tranchées en fait.
So in this case, what we have is the architect who is walking on his side. The citizen is walking at some distance, and at some point you have the question. You haven't done any concrete barrier or something like that, and this question is asked by coming closer. So first it is responded to by the gaze of the architect on the person asking. By the way, it's quite nice that here the camera also reorients, is reoriented in order to capture the new participation framework. So this way of framing the vision is quite interesting because it is centered on the architect and it doesn't treat this guy as being part of the thing. You have a nice reorientation here, and you see that it comes, it comes after the beginning of the question. The camera reorients and includes phone in the frame. The person asking the question accelerates, and they walk side by side for the answer. The answer goes on as they walk. Together. A last type of question that I found interesting is a question that begins as a question on the move, but ends as a question stopping, and again re-establishing the participation framework of the initial explanation. I show you here an example. So these are a group of young people living in the city and visiting this area, which is an area between the Swiss and the French border, and this is an inhabitant. She is asking, they are walking, and she is asking a question to the inhabitant functioning here as a guide.
Avant la première guerre, c'était prévu de faire un train Bâle-Ferrette. Oui. Et après, avec la guerre, on a abandonné. Et voilà, on n'a jamais repris cette idée.
So in this case, what you have is at the beginning a question that is asked by one of the participants to the guide while they are walking. There are other participants around, in a way like in the big group on the construction side, but they are kind of overhearing the question that he's asked to the guide. The guide responds in a way that he continues to walk, but at some point he begins to walk on the side, and he ends up stopping. He ends up stopping for something that begins to be another type of answer. And it's quite interesting to see how the visitors just re-establish a very different interactional space, which is a kind of lecturing space. Interestingly too, you have a person who was walking a little bit ahead. She stops a little bit ahead, but at some point she joins she joins the group, so kind of showing the kind of normativity of this kind of lecturing interactional space, but also projecting that it might last for a little bit. Yes, I skip this case, which is quite nice, but which is also a case in which the answer begins to be given on the move, but then ends up as an answer given in a stationary way. I've given you examples for five types of questions. These types are defined by the timing and the position at which the question is asked. We have stationary questions, we have stopping questions, we have questions while walking away at the beginning of the walk, so en passant questions, we have questions on the move, and we have questions on the move transformed back into stationary questions. What is to be noticed is that the way in which these questions are oriented towards recipients are quite different. In the first case, the way in which answers are orienting to the recipients is quite different. In the first case, the answer is collective, is given to the entire group, not only to the person asking the question. In the second case, two is still a collective answer made for everybody. But in questions while walking away, en passant, the answer is clearly given to an individual and not to the entire group. And this is the case also of the questions on the move. In the case in which the questions on the move are responded first on the move, but then by stopping, there is a retransformation and the transitions between a private answer to a collective answer are quite nice, and I have a paper on just that transition. Interestingly, the kind of answers that are given in these different environments are different. In the first case, you have extended answers that look like explanations, and that was the case also of the last case. But when questions are asked on the incipient move or on the move, they take another, so the question itself takes another format and the answer is different. So for example, a good way to do a stopping question is by using deictics that point at a place that can be only be dealt locally. So that's part of the stopping aspect of the question. The questions asked en passant are very often requests for confirmation. These are yes, no questions, and they get a very brief confirmation, very often in the form of a repetition of what has been said in the question. The questions on the move often take a more kind of personal take in this, in the case that I showed. The question was, do you, haven't you done this and this? And they are oriented towards the guide in a kind of more personal way. They get also an individual response. This is not an official response. And this last case of the questions on the move that are transformed into answers given in a stationary way are quite nice because they might transform a kind of private concern into a public concern. And I could even see some political issues here, at least in the case of the citizens, where the fact of transforming that into a public answer addresses the orients to the public concern and not only the individual concern. So basically that's a little attempt to show you that on the one side we have general challenges for multimodal analysis. I'm particularly interested in those complex multimodal gestalts that require to look carefully at the timing of all these different actions, and I try to show that this is quite systematic and that means worth the time of looking and transcribing them. On the other side, I'm getting, this kind of is a consequence of this interest for complex multimodal gestalts, is an interest in how the local ecology affects action formation, turn formats, sequence organization, and actually you can look at all the levels of organization in order to explore how these things are reflexively mutually adjusted. So I hope that you saw that looking at ecology, the local ecology, and the local ecology is not something static, it's something that is produced by the bodies moving, of course, and that looking at how the bodies move might reveal some things about what the talk is also doing. So I have, thank you.
Well, that was great. Thank you very, very much, Lorenzo. We have some time for questions, observations, comments. Yes, Tom.
Yeah, Lorenzo, thank you very much. I was wondering, did you look at how these stopping questions, how they are possibly related to the necessity to stop in order to point at something? So it seems that the first example you showed was about something that happened behind, that was visual behind the back.
Yeah.
And the other one, right, and the other one was someone stopping at this border in the forest where he wanted to point to Basel and then to some other place. So are these systematically related?
That's why I indicated this deictic, and it's true that these are typically So I would say, because you can frame it as a kind of necessity, but you can frame it also as a choice of the participants to frame their question in that way. And of course, if you point in the other direction than the direction that the guide is taking, and you use a deictic, for example, after an initial deictic, the chances that you will stop the entire group are much bigger than if you wait a little bit and you ask a request for confirmation. In that case, you are already in that. And the difference in time between these two types of questions is a matter of less than seconds. That's what is kind of fascinating. So definitely, that's I would say, one of my claims. Now, the problem is that they use a lot of deictics and pointings also in other types of questions. And actually, I have them in questions on the move, which are quite nice. Now, I haven't the time to show you, but where they begin to point and the architect is turning and walking backwards and looking at where they point. And this is quite, so these walking backwards is totally exciting, I guess, because it shows you something on the progressivity of the activity. So walking backwards is a way of both orienting towards something that is maybe a bit retrospective, but at the same time maintain the progressivity of the walk, which is the progressivity of of the activity, and in a way also of the talk. So there are nice kind of hybridization or contaminations between walking as an activity that is progressively organized, and talking, which is also an activity that has a progressivity. So this I tell that because I think that it's not only the pointing or not only the deictic that makes the thing is really how they together, how they negotiate that, and how they format their actions, the first action, and then how the second action kind of buys into it or forces a little bit towards other things.
We're nearly out of time, but let's give the last question to Helen. Helen, you have your
hand up. No, it's not. I read the thing on there and it answered my question.
In that case, the last question goes to Ruth Parry.
One of those questions that's sort of reflecting from a different data set. So in some of my physiotherapy data, when I was looking at reason giving in physiotherapy, sometimes when they're doing a joint project, patient and therapist, there will be some reason giving. But when the reasons are more abstract, more complex, and so on, there's a tendency to stop the activity or to do that activity during a rest period that's sort of pre-specified, which made me think, well, when I was looking at that, I was looking at some of the psychology literature, which we've learned from looking at, in terms of processing issues and the challenges of walking and talking, as it were. So, you know, doing this activity or doing an activity, walking together, moving, coordinating together, and giving some quite complex or abstract information. And I wonder whether you see that in your data or not at all.
Yeah, so this is not related to, more or less related to this study, but I've done another paper where I mainly looked at what they were. When they are aware, so I looked at people walking in an informal way and talking together, and when they were changing the pace of their walk, and interestingly, so they were kind of stopping suddenly when they were, for example, initiating a story or initiating an important action. They were stopping at other moments too, so the walk is not something that is regular. It's something that you can accelerate, you can decelerate, and you can make an enormous range of things with that. One thing that you can make is to highlight to highlight the kind of stopping the progressivity in a way by stopping. But you can also, so this might be a way to show that you are giving attention to something, but you can also accelerate, which has other consequences. And it's quite nice that if you look at the peripheral participants, they also orient towards that. So they might accelerate, kind of, or they might have accelerated and then come back. And when they come back, it's really interesting because they kind of orient towards the stabilization of the kind of, for example, sequence that is going on at that point. So it's quite revealing about what people are doing and how also they coordinate this. So it's never unilateral.
Okay, thank you once again, Lauren.